thankful for the many years that we've had the opportunity to serve the Lord here. I'm thankful for the mothers and the fathers who have served and helped to work with these children. I'm thankful for the leaders who have worked with me over the years since we started this some 54 years ago. And I'm just thankful to be here. Praise the Lord. When people put down the church, what they're doing is reflecting problems within their own lives. Like the fellow who had the Limburger cheese on his nose, and he says, "The whole world stinks." We are blessed. But you know what made that possible? It's this wonderful book. We came with a user's manual. And it's written by the fellow who made all this possible. Our wonderful God. And what we need to do is to study it and learn and know and understand it. And so this morning I'm teaching on another segment of the study, to show yourself approved. It'll be number two. And this is about techniques of good Bible study. And I'm only going to handle the first section of it, basically. Time is a little short. And I want to talk about this section concerning how do you read. And I want to first begin with this little poem. It is one thing to read the Bible through, another thing to read, to learn, and do. Some read it with design to learn to read, but to the subject pay but little heed. Some read it as their duty once a week, but no instruction from the Bible seek. While others read it with but little care, with no regard to how they read nor where. Some read it as a history to know how people lived 3,000 years ago. Some read to bring themselves into repute by showing others how they can dispute. While others read because their neighbors do, to see how long it will take to read it through. Some read it for the wonders that are there, how David killed a lion and a bear. While others read it with uncommon care, to hoping to find some contradictions there. Some read as though it did not speak to them, but to the people at Jerusalem. One reads it as a book of mysteries and won't believe the very things he sees. One reads with his father's specs upon his head and sees the things just as his father said. Some read to prove a pre-adopted creed, hence understand but little that they read. For every passage in the book they bend to make it suit that all-important end. Some people read as if, as I have often thought, to teach the book instead of being taught. And some there are who read it out of spite. I fear there are but few who read it right. So many people in these latter days have read the Bible in so many ways that few can tell which system is the best, for every party contradicts the rest. But read it prayerfully, and you will see, although men contradict, God's words agree. For what the early Bible prophets wrote, we find that Christ and his apostles quote. So trust no creed that trembles to recall what has been penned by one and verified by all. The first section I'm going to cover, the section today I'm going to cover in the time we have, is our steps to comprehension. This is how you make practical steps to comprehend the Bible. last time, you know, recall we went through the scriptures and saw the different things the Bible said as to how it should be read. And today I want to focus on the steps that you can, practical steps you can make to comprehend the Bible. Begin with an organized plan. You know, get some kind of an idea of how I'm going to study. A splatter study doesn't work too well. Grasshopper exegesis, have you heard of that? What is grasshopper exegesis? That's when you just hop around, and whatever scripture comes to mind, somehow you try to fit it into what you think or want. Reminds me of the story of a person who was going to read the Bible and decided, I'm going to do whatever the Bible says. And so she opened the Bible and closed her eyes and opened the Bible and put a finger on the scripture. And it said, Judas went and hanged himself. And she thought, well, that doesn't, I don't know, I don't want to do that. And so she closed the Bible again and moved it to a different area and put her finger on the Bible, on the scripture, and opened it. And it said, go thou and do likewise. Well, she didn't want that too bad, so the best 2 out of 3. And so she opened the Bible and put her finger on the scripture again, closed her eyes and put the scripture and looked at it, and it says, whatever you do, do quickly. You know, you can't read the Bible that way and make any sense of it. You need to have an organized plan. You need to read it comprehensively. Not grasshopper exegesis, not hopping around. You need to research. The focus, first one is focus. Remember, get a focus, what you're going to do. Then research. Now, the way to research something is to go through it. You need to prime the pump. How many of you ever had those old pumps? You ever had an old pump? Back on the farm we had it. And you tried to pump, you know, and you could just pump all you wanted and nothing happened. Until they had a little coffee can sitting there with some water in it. You pour the water down the top of it and then pump. And pretty soon the water coming out. Well, that's what kind of need with Bible study. It helps prime the pump a little bit. Compile all you can on your topic. Begin to get some good material and dumping it in there. Get it going. So research first. Analyze. You know, there's basic principles of comprehension basically involve the words who, what, why, where, when, and how. Those 5 words. And we teach these in how to prepare sermons and things like that, to look at these things. Well, in order to understand the Bible, we need to look at those questions. Who's speaking? Why did they say what they said? Where was it? When was it? You know, if it's an Old Testament and some of the things about the law, then that may not apply directly to us. We need to look at those things and analyze them and try to figure out what are they trying to say. So these are, it's another step. Visualize. It's a good idea to look the maps up. How many of you really think about it when you see about some city that you don't know about in the Bible? How many of you really check to see where it is? Or empire, kingdoms, and so on. If you begin to get a picture of the Mediterranean world and the biblical world, or the whole world, start getting a picture of these things. And if you get these things in your mind, get a picture of them, it's tremendously helpful to understand what's happening. Where is it happening? When is it happening? Maps, pictures, outlines, videos, even visits to exhibits and locations. If you can, go to the palace, go to the Holy Land if you can. It's great. Anything you can do to help visualize what you're reading. Verbalize. Discussion sharpens comprehension. You know, if we talk with each other, talk about the scriptures, that's one of the reasons why we have classes. By interacting, and in my college classes, that's what I do, is I interact with the student. Get them to respond. Get them to open up and discuss the questions and the problems that may run through their minds. It helps us to comprehend. It helps us to fix in our memory these things. It smooths the flow of our thinking and helps to pronounce the names and places and Greek and Hebrew words and so on. When I was in college, whenever there was a problem, something I maybe wasn't interested in, or was something that I just really didn't understand, one of the things we did, a bunch of us guys would get together and we'd talk about it. This is out of class. We get together and say, what's this all about? And the interaction began to sharpen the thinking that we had. So verbalize. Talk with others. Organize. If things are just scattered, you have a hard time understanding it. Organize. Get things organized in your mind. And by organizing, by outlining, learn to outline things, put information in a logical order under proper headings. These things all help you to understand what's going on. Walking into a junkyard without any concept of where anything is, even in junkyards, they organize things. You know that? They'll say, well, the Chevrolets are down here and the Cadillacs are over here, or whatever. This kind of organizing and systematizing things helps a lot. You can get organization from other people and so on. Reduce. You know, you have this huge pile of stuff, and you may put it sorted into different piles, but you need to reduce some of it. You got so much junk. A lot of stuff appears in the process of collecting information together. So you need to reduce some of that. Strain out the unneeded material. Concentrate on the things that make sense and the organization. Concentrate on learning what the scripture teaches. Polish. As you collect the information, organize it, reduce it down, you need to polish it. Now this goes on into maybe presentations and things like that for sermons. That's what I teach in how to have a sermon or teach a class. Polish to it what you're going to say with quotations, illustrations, poems, jokes, references, and so forth. These things help to, they're windows that help comprehension and maintain interest. Write. Writing, it said, makes a perfect man. Writing helps comprehension and memory. And you have to actually put something down and write it out. It helps the comprehensive understanding of it, because you have to understand it to state it. And it helps the memory because in the process of writing, it fixes it in your mind. It weeds out mistakes and helps you have a more understandable and more harmonious and more beautiful concept, more accurate. Memorize. You know, memorization is a really important thing. It's kind of a lost art, it seems to me, in our educational system today. I think it's a huge mistake. Memorization helps to speed up and make things accessible quickly and easily, and it lasts when you memorize it. You ever, you know, for a while they had this fad of not learning the alphabet. You just learned the words. That's a huge mistake. The alphabet, sure, the words are great. You need to know those and so on. But alphabet helps a lot. You need to learn your numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you don't, you're going to have problems. You can't just learn a group of numbers. You need to learn the organized, logical order of those numbers. Same way with the Bible. If you're going to study the Bible, you need to know the books of the Bible. Memorize them. So you can say them, so you can find them. You need to memorize the organization of the Bible itself. How is it organized? You know, Old Testament, New Testament, law, Old Testament, law, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets, New Testament, the Gospels, book of the history, Pauline epistles, general epistles, and prophecy, Revelation. Need to know those things. So there's a time, there's a point where you need to put some effort in. You know, when I learned the books of the Bible, I learned them when I was working on a green chain in a sawmill. And I took me a little card with them on it, and I took that card out and look at them, and then I'd put it back and I'd keep working on them. And the way to memorize is to start off with to break it into groups. Don't try to memorize the whole thing. It's like trying to swallow a whole beef at once. You know, one bite at a time. What do you say about how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And you need to do the same thing with memorizing. Memorize by breaking things up and getting key words and so on. Organizing. Chris is fabulous at being able to, of course, his method I can't do, but we appreciate Chris and his wife. They're such neat people, and they were great for my classes. Review. Questions. Tests. Outlines. Discussions. You know, we need to go back over things from time to time, and renew and review, and those things help to fix and help to build the comprehension. In the process of doing this, what happens is we actually reorganize and improve our organization. So, you know, a lot of time I've had a lot of problems, questions that I struggled with, how to deal with them. And you know what I found the best? Sometimes it's best to say, okay, God knows the answer, and he'll give it to me when he's ready, and I'm just going to let it soak. And by doing that, pretty soon the thing had come out, you know. It just took a little time. I don't know the answer to everything. Far from it. File. We need to, our studies, what I like to do is to have study notebooks and file this information. Now you got computers, you can put it on computer. File the different, and you can buy books that have libraries, books that actually have a lot of this filed already and helps you to quickly get it, but it's best when you do it. So in our classes, I always try to encourage people to have notebooks and to do study and put those studies in the notebooks, because it helps fix the memory. And because later on, when you want to go back and look over some things, you have a quick resource. All right? I'm going to... This was a baloney sermon. Remember I told you that a lot of my sermons are just a lot of baloney? Well, a baloney sermon is when you can just cut it off, and it's good any place you cut it off. And so, because of our time factor, I'm going to stop at this point. And I just want to say how much I appreciate your study of the Word and your seeking the will of God.